Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and I just want to thank you for joining the Dr. Drew podcast and supporting the Corolla Pirate Ship here at the Corolla Network. And please, just a reminder, tell a friend about these podcasts. That is how this thing grows organically, and that is how we want this to grow. We want it to be a community of people that connect, and we talk about interesting things. And by the way, feel free to give us feedback and stuff, particularly for my show, that you'd like to hear. We'll be happy to set it up on the program. And again, tell a friend and keep this pirate ship afloat.
This is Corolla Digital.
Okay, before we get to the show, I want to get to a call here. Hi, what's your name?
Jameson.
Hi, Jameson. What's going on, Jameson?
I've been on the Suboxone films for on and off for a couple of years. I kicked it when I was going to the doctor, and then I relapsed and got them off the street. Took a few and like very small pieces to wean myself off without, you know, having to spend a lot of money going through clinics or, you know, and like your last caller mentioned about the 12-step program. I've heard so much about it that it really doesn't sound like it's even for me.
Well, so, it could be, but listen, opiate addiction is a serious, life-threatening problem. It's been my experience that people need sustained treatment in a structured environment. Like, you have to go somewhere and you have to stay somewhere or you will not stay sober. That's just the way it works with this drug.
Like, you mean stay in like a group?
Like a sober living, anything. Somewhere where you're in a structured environment where you can't go use.
Well, I also smoke pot, which really helps with the withdrawals. I've been actually 5 days sober so far, so excuse me
from
if I
Suboxone.
Sound kind of nervous, shaky.
From Suboxone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally been off the Suboxone for 5 days now, and
It's a pretty miserable couple of weeks. It's a pretty tough couple of weeks you're going to go through.
Yeah, but my question is, I take such small pieces, like maybe a milligram.
Right. We can sit and try to make deals all day, but it's very difficult. It's just the way it works. It's not been my experience that people can successfully stay off these drugs without being in a structured environment. That's just been my experience.
But you think it's just the drug? It's not like the dosage of the drug? Like you could take a small amount and get off of it a little easier than maybe like a full-blown
Been doing that. How's it going? It doesn't work so well, does it?
Well, yeah, it's terrible because you can't get past those first couple days.
Right, and no matter how you taper down, at the end of Suboxone, those first few days are always rough. They're just rough, in my experience. They've been really rough. And here you go through it.
It wasn't, too bad. That's why I decided, this is a good time to get clean.
Good. Good for you. But the hard part about addiction is staying clean. And that's where the 12-step come in, the support of people who understand how tough that is. It can support you through that.
I also drink a lot and take Xanax to take the edge off.
Jameson, we can spend all day about this. You clearly have such bad addiction. I mean, you got to go somewhere and get treated. This is not going to work. I'm sorry, but I'm glad you're getting off the opiates. I hope you stay off, but you're addicted to four different substances you mentioned just in those few minutes talking to you. All have severe withdrawal. All have dangerous withdrawal. It'd be irresponsible of me to say anything to you other than get in a hospital and get proper care. I have to go now to our friends at Lumosity just before we start the program here. Reminder that Lumosity.com is a way to work out your brain the way you work out your body. I know I go to these games frequently as a way of trying to sharpening my concentration and memory. It helps you get focus. The other thing is you get to set up a personalized program that really begins focusing on the phenomenon you want to work on, and then it gives you regular feedback as to how you're progressing. The idea is to get sharper, more focused, better problem solver, hopefully better memory. Go to Lumosity.com today. Head over to the Start Training button, and you can start training free immediately, and you'll have your own personalized program set up. I order you all to go over to Lumosity.com and tell them you heard it from me, Dr. Drew. And now enjoy the program. Dr. Drew podcast. I'm welcoming to the program today Mr. Abe Abdelhadi. Now, before I get into Abe, I've got some business I want you all to attend to because Mr. Kroll is putting the screws to me, so I need your help. Here's what I need you to do. I need you either to support the products we recommend on this program. You'll hear us talking about things. And by the way, the things we recommend on here, we actually, thank God, we do like. And, you know, some of them, when I say I use them, I use them. That's no BS, number one. Number two, you could go onto iTunes or click through at Amazon. Clicking through on Amazon, our website at drdrew.com helps here, so I can keep doing this. Number three, you can buy the Swinging Sounds of the Dr. Drew podcast at iTunes, which is you just heard a sample of, and people seem to really like this thing. We're still getting positive reviews on iTunes?
Yeah, they've been great. Thank you.
All right,
you.
So we're going to come out with some more of those. And then something that I recently put up that I'm very proud of, which is a book called The Boy with the Gun by Brandon Stogsdale. Brandon, you will see in the intro of the book is a gentleman. And you, what episode is the last one I talked to him on, Gary, if you can tell me, where we talk about how we met and how that happened and why I thought this book was so important to put up. And it's not a waste. It's a good read. It's a quick read. It's not a waste of your time. And it will teach you how people go from extremely troubled to change. He's now a therapist and working with young people himself. Episode 61 is where you can hear me and Brandon. But today you get to hear me and Abe. His Twitter handle is @thisisthedeal. Abe has a blog. Tell me about that blog, Abe.
Basically what it is, it's not your traditional, Perez Hilton bagging up people's dresses.
You're not shitting on people.
No. What it is, it's a blog may be an understatement. What it is, it's just a bunch of essays that I had written over the last several years, anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 words. And I wrote them in kind of a timely manner in that you could read them 10 years from now and it'll still make sense.
What's the blog called?
The blog's called This Is the Deal, Cultural and Ethical Observations with Just a Dash of Salt.
Fantastic.
So I cuss a little bit. So for baby ears, maybe, you know, but
well,
they're well-placed.
It's a podcast audience. All right.
Yeah, it's a well-placed F word, so you can, you know.
It's like a comma, like punctuation.
Yeah, absolutely. But if something comes up, and I'll just take the basic thing and extrapolate it into a bigger philosophical question. Try to be funny about it, and just
Well, let me let people know where they may have seen Abe. Abe, we welcome regularly to the program at my HLN program, Dr. Drew on Call. Abe is someone that dated briefly Jody Arias, so he became of great interest to us. He's also he's shy, demure. He doesn't know how to express himself, so he makes for terrible television. So my producers really didn't like him. Now Abe was never sort of one to hold back his feelings, and so there was always something to play off of. And it will just tell that for people that didn't follow that Jody Arias trial, which is a lot of the this is not the Southern females that we
get
reach
on the,
in HLN.
Right.
This is a headier crowd. So Jody Arias, this woman that slaughtered her boyfriend, Abe had worked with all of these people, and he actually dated Jody Arias. So tell them that story.
Yeah, real quick, I met her at a business event, and we hung out for a few months, just getting to know each other a little bit, and then we had a lunch, and then we had a dinner date. Fooled around on that one dinner date.
This is a podcast. So you're going to have to get in deeper on this.
Oh, right, okay. Here. Well, we fucked around on this dinner date, basically.
So you thought – you saw this chick and you thought, oh, I'm going to have sex with this girl.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Sure. This is where this is going.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to marry this girl. This girl's up. This girl's a good time. This girl's a party.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to bang her. She had a nice ass. And bottom line, I went out with her. We fooled around.
Did she sort of go that direction with you? Was she sort of encouraging?
Oh, yeah. She was aggressive. She had no problem with it at all.
So she clearly was very sexual and stuff.
Absolutely.
Did you have any hint that the sexuality came from sort of a problematic place, that she was using it to kind of control men or anything?
No.
Did you feel funny in response? Did you get a little – sometimes men, when the sexuality comes from a strange place, we become like a turtle. We kind of back
off. Yeah, no, she wasn't – well, A, I was older than she was, so I'd been around the block a little bit. So I didn't get that vibe. The only weird vibe I got of her was she's kind of pretentious.
What does that mean?
She was just kind of like when I first got to know her a little bit, I looked on her MySpace
full
page.
Of shit.
Yeah, she's full of shit. Absolutely, yeah. Like she had all these adjectives on her MySpace page. I'm altruistic and I'm spiritual and whatever. I thought bullshit, whatever. But she was, fine. I wanted to, whatever. So I wanted to bang her, and
Just to get the setting. Were you dating multiple girls at that time?
Yeah.
Did she understand she was just a date and the kind of thing?
I didn't tell her that.
But I mean, the way it went, she probably
absolutely.
Would. Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't have a girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
So I was in that space where you go out with a few dates here, a few dates there, and if it's going to work out or not. So then she had called me and a couple days later and said she was getting back together with Travis.
This is the guy she killed.
Yeah. And
By the way, you had told me before that these dates were in Pasadena, or the one
– In Pasadena.
Always in Pasadena.
Well, the one – when we hung out sometimes, it was Pasadena. The lunch date was in Palm Springs when I went to speak out there for a business event. And
where
then
would
she
you
came out, she came out to Pasadena.
Where would you hang in Pasadena?
We went to meet Piazza specifically that night.
I'm going there tonight.
Yeah. It's a great place. Tell Armin I said hi.
I will. And if you guys want to go, by the way, we've got a whole – Catherwood's coming. There's a whole big party coming up.
It's
see you there.
Yeah. Come on in.
Yeah.
I owe you guys. So great. So I'll tell Armin if you remember seeing the two of you together, what that was like.
He probably shook our hand because I've taken dates in there before.
Yeah.
And I used to work there when I was in grad school. So we know each other.
What's
so,
your grad school degree in?
It was going to be in education. And I dropped out.
From where?
Claremont College.
Which one?
The grad school specifically, Claremont Graduate School.
Where'd you go to undergraduate?
I went to Cal Poly Pomona. Home of the Broncos.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So these are all great. You had a great – your plan was – now you're in sales for the Legal
Shield, right.
Legal Shield.
I work Legal Shield.
How long have you done that?
Next month will be 11 years.
So it's probably good business.
It's a great business.
It's an interesting business. You sell – it's like insurance for
– lawyers.
I always wonder why there wasn't more of that kind of thing.
Well, it's funny. I think if anyone was going to design that right away, it would take a lot of money up front. It kind of developed organically. The guy that started the company had
there
a car accident.
There has to be a big insurance
fund.
Yeah,
absolutely. He started in 69 when he got in a car accident, didn't have any protection, lost his ass.
Wow.
And then he thought, hey, wouldn't it be great if it had? And so just organically built over
would
40 years.
Would it be, years. For somebody that, is it any way that someone could use it as a catastrophic coverage? In other words, let's say I want to hire the best lawyer, and the best lawyer doesn't take this insurance. Mm-hmm. But if I got into real trouble, might be good to have that in the background.
Well, you know, that's what's beauty of it. We're a closed system, so these lawyers work for us. Every state has a law firm. So it's not a referral service. And then, basically we're paying them up front. So there's a bunch of things that we do before it gets catastrophic. You know, things like murder would be done at a discounted rate. But there's a bunch of things that are covered for about 5 cents an hour, like getting your will done or traffic tickets or you're being sued.
So routine stuff.
Yeah. Even being sued, you're covered or audited.
Why would I go to that organization as opposed to, say, LegalZoom?
LegalZoom. Well, we actually have lawyers that eat food and drink water. And they actually fucking have kids, whereas
but LegalZoom has that available.
Ish. They give you a bunch of forms that they charge you for, and if you need an attorney, they get it at a discount rate. But Johnny Lunchbucket, the average guy, is making $15-$25 an hour. He can't afford to spend $300 on an attorney, even at a discounted rate. And so to have an insurance that covers all this stuff is kind of the power of it. That's what makes it really kind of cool.
Okay. I use LegalZoom. I've used it and I've been very happy with it.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm intrigued by what you guys have. It's
because, you got a lawyer. With us, it's a lawyer on tap. For example, I had 3 out of 4 tickets successfully represented in the last couple of years.
Oh, interesting.
With an attorney actually showing up for it and that kind of stuff.
What did you do before that?
Before that, I was substitute teaching for a brief minute. Worked at Sony Pictures for a little bit.
Doing what?
I was a partner in a production company. Used to work with Dean Cain.
Crazy.
In the late 90s. And then before that, I was working at Piaggi grad school. And before that, I worked at a couple of record companies. I played in bands. So
what's your day like now?
It's weird because I work from home. So my day is comprised of, basically working out in the morning. Then I'm on the phone or I got to go to an appointment or
sales.
Two. Yeah, I'm in sales.
Sales. And do you also service clients kind of thing? Or you
follow
up on previous?
I follow up with groups and companies that I work with. I'm servicing previous clients.
Make sure people's happy.
Yeah, everyone's happy. And I go back every 6 months kind of a thing. But some days, like today, it's like schizophrenic. Yesterday I had to wear a suit and go see some people today.
This morning.
Yeah. And then roll out of bed today and just jeans and a T-shirt and visiting with you. So it's pretty flexible.
All right. Let's go back to the dates with Jody.
Yeah.
So you're in Mi Piace. What do you guys talk about?
Well, we're talking about all kinds of stuff. I mean, she was a little stiff, because I think now looking back on hindsight, it's always weird with this stuff because you don't think about it. You think, it's just a little weird. But I think she was trying to gauge me to see if she could work me. Okay.
To get to Travis?
Not to get to Travis, because she didn't even know that I knew about her and Travis. But I thought
she was talking about that from the beginning.
She didn't mention it until a couple days after we had our little fool around session where I was grabbing on her thong and all that crap.
Yeah.
And then she called me to tell me that we couldn't go out anymore because she was getting back together with Travis. And
so as you started heading towards actually being sexual, then she closed it down.
Yeah.
Were you pissed?
No, not at all. I mean, okay. I'm weird. I have this disconnect. Everything with me is like contracts and conversations. So if we're hanging out for like a month or two and then we have that conversation that you're going to be my girlfriend and that kind of thing, then that goes into a whole other emotional deal.
Right, right.
But until we have that, it's none of my business what she does.
Right. You're just negotiating together.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess.
Absolutely. She could have banged the Chilean National Guard. I give a shit. What I mean?
It's her business.
It's her business. I don't care. Like, I'm not the kind of guy, for example, if I ask her out on a Friday and she can't make Friday and I see her on Saturday, I don't ask her about her Friday.
However, let's say it's gone once. Let's say you get that next date after the makeout session. When that's like date number what, five would that be?
Yeah, it would have been the second date physically, but yeah, maybe date five.
Date five. So now you're having sex with her. Are you worried about where she's been? Are you weren't putting a condom on?
Carefully? Oh, I'm always wearing a jacket. Oh, okay, absolutely.
Right. But did she give you any other serious concerns about that?
No, I mean I didn't think she was. You know, she was never. Like, she would work herself personality-wise sexually. She didn't wear, like, overt clothing. She never worked her cleavage. You know, in fact, she never ever wore skirts. She always wore pants. And they weren't those, like, super tight, sexy, you know, the tight business suits that chicks wear. With the Lycra business suits with those pumps and everything. You go to the bank, see that really
settle down.
Yeah, the hot teller. Yeah,
relax,
so but she would wear, like, these loose-fitting pants. And she had this great body, you know. And you're kind of going,
she had breast implants, right?
Yeah, but she never, like, worked her cleavage in your face. Once in a while, she'd wear, like, a little V-top sweater. So I didn't even know there was a boob job until after the trial.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You know, I played around a little bit, but you know, I didn't get to, you know, really go after him. I kind of pulled her bra back a little bit. And this is in the parking lot, by the way. We're standing in a parking lot.
Where?
Behind Mi Piace, that big parking structure. Behind Mi Piace.
On Arroyo.
Not on Arroyo. It's right on Fair Oaks, behind Mi Piace.
Fair Oaks, yeah.
And so, you know, we went to Barnes & Noble.
What floor are you on? I'm going to set the whole thing.
I think it's like the second or third floor because we had to go up I think
it's kind of a shitty alley back there. And the parking lot's kind of okay.
Yeah, but she was in the lot, so we were by her car and we're standing. We're not inside her car. We're standing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was just not shy. Cars were passing by and, you know, she like some girls get all, oh, my God, they're going to see us. And she wasn't that way at all, man. She, you know, it seemed like a healthy enjoyment. Of just, you know, being physical. She liked men. It was clear she liked men. Nothing wrong with that. I like girls that like men. They're cool. You don't have to, like, coach them all the time. And, you know, like, don't worry, I'm not your uncle, you know, kind of a thing. You know?
Right. So you didn't get the trauma vibe.
At all.
You didn't get a trauma vibe on either end of that, which is too sexual or overly shut down.
Yeah. She was just, it just seemed kind of normal. She made little jokes, you know.
Let's go back to the dinner table where she seems to be shut down a little bit. This is what everyone kind of always talks about with her, the kind of vacancy in her eyes and stuff. What were you thinking there? What was she talking about?
Well, she was just talking about some general – I mean, it's hard to remember. She remembers what I had to drink.
Maker's Mark.
Yeah, which is scary. I drink the crap all the time. She's
I remember it now.
Not that it's crap.
She said it once, but she said it once, and it's such a – it's such a random thing to remember. I remember it now.
I don't even remember what she had. You know what I mean? It's like we were just like we're talking about like a loose conversation on politics, you know, just general stuff, you know, life. Talked about this Daryl Brewer guy. That's the only ex I knew of that was Daryl Brewer. I didn't know about Travis.
Yeah, tell me about. I didn't really get who he was.
He was that dude that I guess when he testified in the trial, he lived with her for 4 years in Palm Springs. They owned a house together. And he was that older guy that she got the gas cans from, if you recall the gas can scenario when she borrowed them. You know.
And they had a stable relationship, you think?
Apparently to her, according to her, but you know, she lied so much I don't even know what was true anymore. I'll be honest with you, for the first year or so, I was always calling people that knew of the situation. Hey, did you hear about this guy? I was wondering if he even existed. Was he buried under the house?
Daryl Brewer, you mean?
Yeah. I for about a year and a half until finally when I was talking to certain parties that were investigating the case, they finally said, oh, no, we tracked him down. I said, oh, okay, because nobody seems to know where he was. I'm thinking, was he buried under the house in Palm Springs?
Where was he?
Oh, he was living up north. He moved up north to go be closer to his son.
He's not a shady guy himself.
Doesn't seem like. I mean, he testified and everything. He was, you know.
Well, it's interesting that he – and I don't remember his testimony. Was he sort of neutral on her?
No, he was the guy that talked about – he was that older guy that talked about her being always responsible, always mature. They owned a house together for 4 years. He was older than I was, so – I thought, oh, she's into older guys because if he's older than me, you know, shit. I mean, she must be, you know. And so when she called me a couple of days after we fooled around to tell me it was over, and she said her ex. I go, oh, you mean that guy in Palm Springs? No, Travis, do you know him? I go, yeah, I know him. Him? Yeah, it's been on the DL, but we're going to kind of make it work. And this was like in January of 07, December 06, beginning of 07. And that was, I guess, when that period started from February when they dated for a few months before he decided it really wasn't going to be a deal. And then he, you know, turned it into kind of a booty call. And that's when it was, you know, she just wouldn't let up. And it was, you know, the over that year and a half period was the tire slashing and all that crazy shit that led to the big punchline, which she killed him.
So let's talk about this sort of the nuance of this that you can't get into on television. He did turn her into booty call. He didn't understand how deeply into it she was, right?
No, apparently not.
How do we help guys understand when they've crossed a line like that? How can we – if he had been smart – not smart. I mean, obviously you don't want it the way it went. But if he had been sort of more aware, at what he was doing to her,
absolutely,
I think he would have stopped it, right?
Absolutely. And there was this one time in the court, in the hearing, when they played the sex tape that she recorded.
Yeah.
And there was a beginning of that sex tape. I swear to God, I heard it. And, yeah, he was pissed at me, obviously, because she lied to him about me and about 8 or 9 other guys, which I never said on the Drew Show because I didn't want to bring these guys into it. I wasn't the only guy she lied about. But I was the only guy that they could prove in court because she had texts and emails and all that kind of crap.
And she was just using guys to upset Travis.
Yeah, guys that probably weren't even aware of her much past saying hello or giving her business card. Right. But she turned it into – for example, when we quit going out, I didn't see her physically, except for a couple of business events, for that remaining year and a half. I only ever talked to her on the phone once, twice a month.
And it was cordial and nice. And,
yeah. And then she complained about Travis. Oh, he's not committing. Just typical girl crap, you know. And I'm friends with a lot of girls that I've actually had as girlfriends that I've actually fucked. So
that's sort of your thing.
I'm mature. Yeah. I can have a relationship. If their friendship chemistry is there, we'll be friends. Yeah. And I don't get jealous. I don't want them back. And they don't want me back. And they're married. And they got kids. And they, you know, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
But she was definitely using other guys to spin this guy, and I think honestly playing on, because his role up until that point in his life, he dated some pretty nice girls, like, you know, nice, you know, frankly.
Deanna Shag was very lovely.
Yeah,
really lovely.
Nice Mormon girls who just,
but
you know.
But even more than that, they're really like lovely, substantial people.
Right, yeah. But with a soul and a personality and, you know, the thoughts, original thoughts and, you know, a way of life and an ethics code. Mm. Nice, good people, solid people. So I don't think he ever ran into anything like her.
Mm.
So he wasn't the concept of somebody actually lying about all these guys hitting on her and lying about these guys wanting to pay for vacations and lying, that just was foreign to him.
He's
I
not
think.
Used to lying.
Yeah, and so when his friends, you know, Chris and Sky were trying to tell him, hey, look, I know these guys. They're good guys. She's spinning you, man. You know, Chris must have told him 100 times to get out of the house, you know.
But is that what they were I didn't realize that's what they were using as evidence for him to say, hey, remember she mentioned this one, she mentioned that. We talked to those guys. They're fine. They're
cool. You know, I don't think they brought it back as a hey, you better pay attention. This is what we know. Yeah. I think it was like he would complain about it to them. And then you know, like Chris would go,
that didn't happen.
Not those guys, man. You know, she's and he already had his heebie-jeebies about Jody anyway. You know, Sky already had her heebie-jeebies about Jody anyway. So it was just really kind of sad the way that whole thing went down. And so she would use, you know, me, whoever, to manipulate. And then the one thing on that sex call that really kind of – it breaks my heart when I hear it, because if he was maybe more aware, if you want to use that word,
he would have
shut that down. It would have – the sex call would have turned into an argument.
Yeah.
And she probably wouldn't have come out there to kill him.
Was there was a moment where it turned? What's the moment?
There was a moment when she said – she brought up my name, and he was already kind of pissed off about me anyway. And then she was kind of working him to kind of piss him off some more. And then, at this point, he was, you know, using some choice language because, I mean, he was pissed at me. And he had no idea. It's like blaming Samson for a bad haircut. You know what I mean?
Right.
You shouldn't have listened to Delilah. She's a bitch, but it's too late. You lost your hair, and the temple comes on you, and you're dead, right?
Right.
It's a tragedy. So what ended up happening was she said, you know, I talked to Abe today. And he's like, oh, what did he want?
And that's total bullshit.
Total bullshit.
Yeah.
She talked to me probably another time.
Yeah.
But here's what happened. And this is where if he was like paying attention, because she goes, well, you know, I talked to him because he had deleted me off of MySpace. And I went to leave a comment and it wouldn't let me do it. So, you know, she mentioned that I hadn't spoken to him in a few months. And then, you know, when I called him, he had deleted me out of his cell phone. Okay, now, if this guy is stalking you, supposedly.
Was that what she's claiming about you?
Yeah, she's like that I was always trying to kiss her and I was always asking around to make him jealous, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't realize she went to that extent.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
Painting it that way.
Oh, yeah. It was a pisser. So for him to hear, I hadn't spoken to him in a few months. He deleted me off of MySpace. He deleted me off the phone.
He should have been like, huh, good.
Well, he should have been, but he also should have said, whoa, I thought this was the guy that was stalking you. That doesn't sound like stalking behavior.
Oh.
You haven't spoken to him in a few months? Well, didn't just last week he gave me some bullshit about Abe at the da-da-da-da? Right?
How quickly did he get into the sex from there? Because he probably just –
Within a minute.
Yeah,
you know, she brought up her little story and she says, well, you know how Abe can be so dramatic? And then he goes, yeah, he can be. And then was – next to the thing is he wanted to, you know, pop one off, right?
Yeah.
So that's how that whole thing became – when I heard that, I was like – because what happened was, I deleted it on MySpace. I deleted it on a cell phone. When she called me, it was really funny. You know how you have these people that when you call them – when they call you, they're on your phone. You go, hey, you know, hey, Jan, what's up? What? Well, I literally picked up the phone. When I don't know who you are, I don't have a person's name. I go, Abe here, because I'm doing business. I said, Abe here. She goes, Abe here. This is, in hindsight, it's kind of spooky. She goes, Abe here, did you delete me out of your phone too? I'm like, who's this? This is Jody.
Or because her name should have come up on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And this is when I saved it again because I learned a little lesson. I'm like, you save it. That way you could always let it go to voicemail.
Wow.
But then she goes, you deleted me out of your phone too? And I'm going, Yeah, actually. She goes, I want to leave a comment on your MySpace, and I couldn't. And I said, yeah, because after our little—
Could that have been the same day as the sex tape?
It was a few weeks— – I think it was a few weeks later, because I remember this being about April, and that, okay. sex tape was end of May.
Okay, okay.
If I recall, but a week before she killed him, okay. or a week and a half before she killed him. And so she asked me, why'd you like to listen? I got actual girlfriends, you know, chicks that I've actually banged, that, you know, I've actually
had. You said that to her?
Yeah.
You said those words?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Why am I single now? One wonders. My sensitivity, just I'm washing over the sensitivity. So I'm going, listen, I've got chicks that I've actually banged. I'm a mature individual. I can handle relationships. I was in the wedding of my first girlfriend in high school 10 years after we got out of high school. Like, I'm friends to her kids. I'm Uncle Abe to her kids. Her husband's one of my best friends. I've known him 25 years. He's a better friend to me than she is now. That's how close he and I are. So I can do this. You and I had one date. And you're spinning all this crap to Travis.
You knew then that she was spinning? How did you know?
I'll tell you
that?
Why. About a year after the thing, a little datey time, about 2 or 3 months before this little altercation, we had another altercation because she brought up, oh, we got a problem. And I'm like, what's the problem?
She called you as a friend.
Yeah, as
said,
a friend.
We have a problem.
And I'm thinking, cool. You know, yeah. Like, what's up? You know? And she goes, we got a problem. And I'm going, well, what's the problem? She goes, well, Travis knows about us. And
oh
I go,
God.
And I kind of got like, you know, spider sense because I didn't tell anybody. My good friends did. I mean, how am I going to tell about one date? That's like so trivial.
But she's taking this ongoing phone relationship as a real relationship.
I don't know. I guess it seems like it now in hindsight because what she was doing was, according to Sky and Chris, and Sky was telling me what kind of was going on after the fact, she was telling Travis all this crap. And here I'm just talking to this chick on the phone thinking, oh, we're friends. We're friendly. It's cool. And she's telling him all this other crap.
But it's interesting, though. There must be a lot of women out there that have been in that position where men are maintaining a friendship, uh-huh. you know, but they're in the meantime, while they got a war room where they're planning how this thing's going to move forward. And the guy goes, when the woman finally says, hey, you know, I got a boyfriend now, maybe he's going to be upset if we talk. And the guys are like, well, I thought we had something here.
No,
men do, you know, adolescent men do that. Well, very adolescent.
Thank
kind
you.
Of thing.
A good point. Those guys are called douchebags.
Because well, here's the
thing.
Kids.
Yeah. Well, they're children because here's the thing. If you are in a quote friendship with somebody, genuine, there's no agenda.
Yeah,
there's no trying to get back in there.
No, I just
no
said,
one
but,
more
but
time.
She, but she, you know, we know she's fucked up, and so that may have really been going on in her head.
Right,
she may have really believed this. It may not have been bullshit. She may have actually believed that this was an evolving relationship.
Okay, yeah, and if she believed that, then that
it's crazy,
time,
right?
It's the first time I've heard this. Now, yeah. Now I'm even more spooked out.
Yeah, right. But that makes sense psychologically. People get that way. And we know she's primitive. We know she's adolescent.
Right.
Might have been.
Well, because then when she said we had a problem, I'm going, well, life is good. We have no problems. You know, I'm fine. Life is fine. I got no problems. And she goes, well, Travis knows. I go, how does he know? She goes, well,
God, you know, let me self-reveal here. I remember once I dated a girl like twice. I was young. I forget. I was early college or something. And I was really depressed and spinning like a top. And I remember calling her going, we can't see each other anymore. I don't make a big deal out of it. And she was like, right then. Okay.
Yeah. You go off on your moped.
Well, I was not that young. I was young, but I was in my sort of collegiate depression years. And so people, when they're fucked up emotionally, can really get in a weird space. They
well, see, and this is why I can't relate to that, because my whole thing is this. Like, I'm not that guy that hangs out and working it like I'm working on a car. You know, women let you know if they like you.
No, I get. You know, listen, I get who you are, but she's not. She's not reading things normally
at all.
Yeah,
at all.
She doesn't read people normally. She doesn't read herself normally. That's how this all spiraled.
Oh, spiraled control. And so when she's saying that we had a problem, and I said, well, how does Travis know? And then she said, well, I told him. I said, and why would you tell him?
Tell him what?
We had a date a year ago. It's almost a year ago.
What did
she say? She goes, well, I wanted to be. This is the quote that made me jump on her ass. She goes, well, I wanted to be honest and forthcoming. And I'm going, whoa. Honest, listen, you guys weren't even together, right? Isn't that true? You told me. She said, yeah. I go, you could have banged the Chilean National Guard. Fuck you. What are you talking about?
And what'd she say?
And she goes, well, the snarky trial bullshit that you saw when she was testifying. Well, I'm really sorry you feel that way. I thought you'd be more mature about this. I go, no. Let me put this in terms you can understand. I dated somebody your age when I was your age. And I caught her in bed with her boyfriend. Now, I'm not bitter, but I'm just saying. She did the same shit you're doing. Telling me about all these other guys, and she's so pretty. The guys can't stand not being around her. No girl's that pretty. That's called restraining order. That's called, you know, you get charges brought up.
Did you say
that
to her?
Yeah. I'm like,
So you saw this right then.
Right. I'm like, you
saw it. It all came into focus for you.
I go, for the last 10, 11 months, you're telling me about how he can't commit and how it's driving you crazy. This is why he can't commit, because he can't trust you. Because you're telling him about bullshit that doesn't even exist. Why would you spin him this way on a date we had almost a year ago? Because you're trying to manipulate him. And this is why you can't have him, because he senses it. Yeah, like, consciously or subconsciously, he gets you. And then this is when she was like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. And I go, no, no, no. You tell me, how am I supposed to feel? I feel like now you're trying to work me, and I got to work with this guy.
What'd she say?
By the way. And then she starts getting into the whole, I'm sorry you feel that way. And then she's like, you know, I thought you'd handle this better.
Handle this better? Like it's a breakup thing.
And give me a piece of advice on how to. Because he's very upset right now. How do I handle this? I go, fucking A, handle it. That's how you handle it. I got to go. I got
an appointment back on Earth.
Yeah,
now.
I got a call. No calls coming in. I just had to go. And then I didn't talk to her for about maybe 2 or 3 months. And then ran into her at an event. And then I saw her at convention. And then this is where I guess supposedly, you know, she was forced to write this email to me, this 3-page email to like break up our friendship. And which is bullshit.
You never got that email.
Fucking A, no way. I never got it.
Is it possible she wrote it and just all the blocks you put in place didn't get it through?
I didn't even go through the trouble of blocking her, man. I mean, I just was like, I didn't block my email. I just deleted it off my phone. I just deleted it off MySpace. I didn't block her on my cell phone.
Right.
And then the call came through.
Right,
I just didn't have her in my, like, for me to call her anymore.
Right.
I didn't think about blocking her number. But no, but that's the thing. And so we had this little thing where I supposedly saw her at the convention. Excuse me. And she went ahead and wrote this email to me because Travis made her because he's that controlling and abusive.
Right, right, right.
And you know what? I mean, let's be honest. I would – 7 years ago, I would forget like a three-sentence email. I could see that maybe she would have sent that.
Yeah.
3 pages on something like this.
You would have remembered it.
It's fucking warm.
Well, you were already pissed too. It would have been like freaked you out, right?
It would have pissed me off more. I mean,
but
now
it would have freaked
now,
you out. If you saw her as a stalker, you use those kinds of words, you know, it's time to get a restraining order, you said – you would have seen her then as possibly stalking you even.
No, well, I mean, and I might have misspoken. I'm just simply saying for me to behave in that manner is like restraining order time, that kind of thing. I didn't see her at that time as a stalker personality.
I see.
But I just thought she was full of shit.
I see.
And manipulative and kind of an asshole. Because why does a girl tell a guy about a date from a year ago unless she's full of shit?
Right, right.
Right? Why does a girl tell a guy about a date from a fucking year ago if like, he won't commit to me and I want to have his babies and, you know. And this is going to make you do that?
Well, she was using you. That's
absolutely.
What pissed you off.
Absolutely. That's, yeah. And then to find that out, like at this age, now it's older. Now I'm going to be 50 in a few months, right? Like at that age, at that
when
time.
When was that?
I was 2006, 7. I was like 43.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, I think I'm done with that kind of
how old was she then?
Stuff. 26, 27. You know, and some people always go, yeah, yeah, you shouldn't go to those young chicks. I mean, somebody goes, when that whole murder thing happened, I had a bunch of chicks my age saying things like, well, you know how that murder thing goes. You know, you shouldn't go out with chicks that young. Oh, wait. I did a chicks that young when I was that young. I'm still alive. They didn't fucking kill me.
They didn't try.
Yeah, they didn't cut my nuts off and put it in a fucking dishwasher. So, I mean, really? It was really frustrating. It was really frustrating to hear that shit. And then Bill Burr's got this great routine about the difference between guys and girls in that regard, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to not do it justice, but yeah. Basically it's if I chopped off my girlfriend's tit and threw it in the dryer, country would come to a grinding fucking halt, the president would make a speech,
yes.
You know, the NFL would have to wear a headband in the most effeminate color ever, right? But when it's a guy, it's like, he fucked up. Well, he's an idiot.
But if she cuts his nuts off, it's a joke now.
That's a joke. That's right.
Now it's comedy routine.
It's like, hey, Stumpy, you know, that kind of shit, right? And meanwhile, when we're actually asking, you cannot have a more cut and dry.
Well,
case.
Let's be fair. The last time the guy really did that was Jack the Ripper. That's why he was so famous. That's what he was doing.
Right.
He was tearing off the sex organs and the breasts and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, OJ did that to his ex-wife.
He did?
Yeah, he chopped her. He chopped her implants right out of the thing.
He did.
He fucking ain't right. He did.
In the.
That's why it was hilarious when they said the Colombians did it. You know, it was just like, really? The Colombians went through the trouble of chopping out her implants? No, no, no. I mean, it was pretty grim stuff.
What?
Yeah, he was pissed. He was like, I paid for those fucking implants. I'm taking them out. Yeah.
Were you talking about Nicole?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't remember that being in the – do you remember?
I remember watching a Politically Incorrect about maybe 15 years ago. Of all people, Roseanne Barr was pitted against one of the OJ jurors. And, you know, they had all that sequestered evidence, right?
Yeah.
And so this woman was saying, oh, we made the right decision. Roseanne Barr was going, no, we saw stuff you didn't see. Because you were sequestered. She goes, did you see the autopsy photos of the cutout breast implants? You probably didn't because they didn't let you see them. And this woman's face just went white, you know. And it was just like, just wham, 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 wham. Yeah, when you read the police report, it was brutal. Brutal. It's the same thing here. This is so brutal and so heinous. So that for anybody to sit there and go, well, you know, she was crucified in the court of public opinion. Yeah, so was fucking Hitler, idiot. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's just like, yeah, please. It's like what she did was so, I think why this struck a chord with people, why people were so enamored with this case. First of all, let's just be superficial because we're superficial
pretty
nation.
Girl.
Pretty girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a sex tape.
Yeah. And people give me shit all the time. They said, oh, how could you be attracted to her? Well, because at the time, she didn't have blood on her hands.
No, most men can look at that. Listen, I had cameramen that were still into her.
Oh, yeah.
Still like oh, no, no problem.
Let me tell you the difference between men and women in a very blunt way. This is not clinical. Okay. The guy that played the Nazi in Inglourious Bastards?
Yeah.
Who won the Oscar?
Christoph Waltz.
That guy, right. Okay, he only played a Nazi. Okay, but right. I promise you, he'd have a hard time dating intellectual Jewish chicks in New York, even if they're hot, because he played a Nazi and he seems so nasty. He was a very Nazi guy.
Right.
Meanwhile, if Sarah Palin was a Palestinian, I could find 19 rabbis that would date her. Okay, that's a fucking fact. They put it away. Oh well, she doesn't mention the PLO. I think I could get in there. Oy vey, you know, like they'd want to bang the shit out of her. It's just the truth. And so we're just lit this way. We're wired this way. And so people sit there and they do this self righteous thing. Oh, she's so ugly now. Well, yeah, it's tainted. But back in the day, she wasn't.
I'm doing a podcast with Lynette Kroll. I think she would like to talk. If she is around the studio today, bring her in here to talk to Dave. I think she would enjoy speaking.
Yeah, she would enjoy kicking my ass. But that's the thing. So it gets kind of bizarre with the judgment after the fact. But I think why it struck such a chord was because, A, you had all this evidence. You had all the
But this hot chick sex tape. And I think what really put it over the top was 3 weeks on the stand.
Yeah.
Did I tell you my Kobe Bryant experience?
No.
I was somebody gave me courtside seats, and it was it was overtime, 5 seconds left in the game, last inbounds in the game. And Kobe's like, he's super cool. He's walking across and he gives me this kind of chin nod.
Yeah.
And I literally like looking behind me like, what, you were, huh?
Talking to you.
And he continues to walk over, which I was like, and he goes, we need to chit chat about Jody Arias. And he called me 2 days later, and we chit-chatted.
Oh, how hilarious.
Yeah. What is that from? What is that? And Kobe, by the way, seconds after he said we need to chit-chat, grabbed the ball and won the game.
Wow.
It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh, this is it? So I'm sitting over to the right. What are you playing exactly? This is how he won the game?
This is the game. It should show you.
It's the Raptors they're playing. He won the game single-handedly. He was on fire that game.
That guy's God.
Yeah, he's the nice. He talked to me. He's the nicest guy you ever want to meet.
That's hilarious.
Swear to God.
That's hilarious.
Just a great guy.
Cool guy.
And he, you know, he was fascinated, many of us are, with this thing that how could you, and this is where you come into this, how could you, we're still watching the footage, so please play it all the way through. We can stop it where me and my wife are. We're over there to the right. I'm standing up there in there. Oh, that's why his head just got in front of me. How could someone be so into it sexually and be having such a different experience?
Sure.
And you sort of had that with her on a couple of levels. One was I think this is the next inbounds is where he comes over to me. How could you, for instance, be having a friendship with her and she thought she's having a relationship? How could he have been having just good sex, not a relationship, because he was clear he didn't want a relationship,
right,
and her be spinning all this stuff? Men get very confused about that.
Well, you know what it is, and this is my layman explanation. Men can actually separate the emotion from sex. It's a function like going to the bathroom.
Yeah,
lot of the time, you get the stalker guys. Don't get me wrong, but
no, right.
For the most part,
and the neurobiology and the functional MRI scans have show us that we can separate those things. No problem.
Right, and then whereas with girls, it's all connected. And plus, it's also their enculturation. Like with guys who play team sports, like army and baseball and shit. Right, mm-hmm. Girls, they get the little communion dress, the little Easter tea set.
Well, but it's our biology, and that's why they are drawn, attracted to those sorts of things. It gratifies their biology.
Sure.
Now, so culture amplifies all that and indoctrinates it and whatnot.
Sure.
We could take it in a different direction.
Sure.
But it's in our biology. It's just
the point I was speaking to a second ago, just that I think the reason why this case like struck a huge chord, like these other cases are coming up, whatever, nobody really cares because there's not that the egregiousness of it. There's a $2 word, Little Miss 119 IQ could fucking figure out. So the evidence, trying to get away with it, trying to get away with it after the fact, the premeditation, the lying about the ninjas, it's such an in-your-face heinousness to the whole thing.
But people connect
this to every other evil in their life.
Well, yes, but even the other thing is the disbelief. It's like it's almost like seeing a Martian land or something. Every time you tell the story, as many times I've heard it, when I think about those interrogation tapes of her just lying, you just go, huh?
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time it's equally as sort of intriguing and shocking at the same time.
Sure.
Like, what?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It's balls. It's fucking huge balls.
Yeah. And why do you think she made that tape?
The sex tape?
Yeah.
I think it's a simpler explanation than some of the ones I've heard. I think she was going to try to use it to not blackmail, but just to get him busted with any of his other girlfriends. Because she's already tapped into his emails. She's already dialed into different shit, technically, what he was into, like, as far as computers and his life. I think she had numbers. She obviously was sending anonymous emails to some of the girls he was already going out with. Mm. You know, you're a whore and a succubus. Don't you lay with him like a man in the Bible bullshit.
That's what her email said?
Yeah. One of the emails that she sent to, I forgot her name, the blonde girl, really cute blonde girl that he went out with for a little bit. You know, don't you let the sun come up when you're in that house, you whore. You know, just real biblical language, like freaked out fucking biblical language, like 70s cult members used to use before they killed the kid in the detective shows. Just nuts shit, right? And so she had all that access. I wouldn't be surprised if that was just going to be saved on her phone or a computer, whatever. And then she would send it, you know, any girl he got close to, send the sex tape.
I had the feeling also, it's so bold, so bizarre to record that whole thing like that. And by the way, it was an amazingly high-quality recording. How did she do that?
I don't know, man. I think you could do it on your phone, right?
You can. I don't know.
And if he's in a room that's kind of quiet and she's in a room that's kind of quiet, it's going to be a pretty good quality
tape. How weird of her to be able to, knowing she was taping, be that responsive and raunchy with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was just going with it. But she knows it's being recorded.
Well, because she's a sociopath.
She's going to have to listen to this
later. And she's setting it up. It's no different than when she leaves that voicemail not 8 hours after she kills him. Oh, hey, sorry, couldn't make it by. You know, but we'll get together another time soon. Uh-huh. You know, whatever. Crazy shit, right? And then she sends him an email 4 or 5 days later, before the body gets discovered. And, you know, she's saying that, you know, I'm sorry I couldn't make it through and we'll do it again and blah, 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 blah.
What about people who just go, oh, my God, it's a chick that got into a bad place, freaked out, is now trying to cover her tracks, like, quote, like anyone would?
I'm a different anyone. But, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And she got busted for it, right? And she was convicted first-degree murder.
No, right. But do we have to make a case that there's something extra super creepy about her? Would anyone who found themselves in that situation behave similarly?
It's
hard to believe.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
If you're buying into her self-defense canard, no, she's full of shit. Because if that was the case and it was self-defense and all this shit happened,
she should have said it.
She would have run next door. She would have knocked it. She would, oh my God, I did something terrible. You know, but that's the thing is like, she's like the Princess Bride, you know, make them all dead versus mostly dead, right? It's like she made them all fucking dead. She didn't like poison his oatmeal. She didn't shoot him from a distance.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't like stab him once and run away like a battered woman would.
Right.
You know, oh my God, I'm scared. Ooh, and run. And then go next door. Hey, I stabbed him in the leg, but help me. He's going to kill me. He's coming. Or, you know, I shot him in the heart, but I don't know. But he was coming. I grabbed the gun because he already beat the shit out of me. Yeah. Usually when a girl reaches for a gun to shoot a guy in those cases, the guy already pummeled her a little bit.
I think she's the domestic violence perpetrator. See, I think she uses sex as a domestic violence weapon.
Sure.
And that and so now in that context, do you see what she was sucking you into any differently? Does that feel different?
Okay. Not me. No.
Right. She wouldn't have had the control that she had with Travis.
No.
Because Travis is like a perfect victim, right? He couldn't tell anybody. It's contrary to what – he felt ashamed of it. It's contrary to what
sure.
he
– Sure. It was a little secret.
But it's just the way – think of the way a woman that's having domestic violence perpetrated against her thinks, I'm ashamed of this. I caused this. He loves me so much. That's why he does – I mean, that's kind of how his
– Yeah.
She's into me so much, but I'm ashamed of it.
Right.
I can't tell anybody. It's our secret.
Right.
He is a domestic violence victim.
Right. No, absolutely.
It's not the way it usually works.
No.
And then when the sex didn't work, then we start resorting to other methods of terrorism and control.
Right.
Intruding into his emails, taking out violence against property.
Right.
Guys do that, right?
Yeah, they sure
do. Guys do that when they're perpetrating domestic violence.
They sure do.
And then they take it out on the personhood.
Right.
She just followed it. What do you think about LaViolette falling for her bullshit? And
I think she was an insult to your profession.
No.
I think she was a cunt. I mean, she's an
insult. I'm going to defend her.
God bless your heart.
Because I think she just got sucked in. And she saw it from a perspective. I could see myself getting sucked in easily into that perspective. The problem is that a really skilled professional is used to going, as far as I see it at the moment.
Yeah.
But you always tell yourself, anything's possible.
Right.
I may be seeing this from the wrong. If I get some more information that could turn this whole thing on its head, I'm prepared for it.
Right.
And she just never let that in.
See, but here's the thing. You've actually seen the autopsy photos, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't. I just read the police report. I won't see those pictures.
Oh, it's bad.
I know it's bad.
You'll be really pissed when you see that.
Well, I read the police report. That was enough.
I'm telling you. I've read both. I've seen them. The police report does not – the brutality comes – just like what we described with Nicole.
Yeah.
And you're equating these two, and you're right. The brutality comes through in the autopsy.
Sure. Well, here the only point I'm simply making is I didn't see the autopsy photos. But basic math is fucking basic math. 27, 28 stab wounds, almost decapitating the guy's head, shot in the head after the fact. Really? Sucked into what? This is the thing I don't understand. You know, the Dr. Hack and Quack, the Richard Samuels guy,
yeah.
Fucking bad haircut guy. Like, really, dude? Okay, first of all, shave your fucking head. No, you're not fooling anybody. You got this comb over this comb down to your shoulders. Like, what is this, sexy flowing hair in the wind? What are you, 1967? Blow me. But the point with LaViolette, I think, honest to God, she's like, I don't think she's got that distance.
Instinct.
Yeah, the instinct or the ability to be objective.
I think you're right. I think she does identify too strongly with the victim.
Listen, anybody that puts a Y in their fucking name when their parents spelled it with an I is a professional dick chopper, just so you know. Okay, that's the thing. When I was in grad school, I had a bunch of fucking chicks that wanted to take the word history and change it to herstory.
Right.
And they also wanted to take seminar and make it an ovular. Fuck off. It's a goddamn word. I didn't even think about the word seminar until you brought up that there's the word semen in the word seminar. Fuck off. I mean, that was her. That was LaViolette. Like, let's take the Alice and put a Y in it because it's gynecologically whatever. She was so biased, it was retarded.
And to be fair, she gets referred patients. I mean, that's what she doesn't find them. She gets referred people,
sure,
that she can rely pretty – she can know pretty reliably are victims.
Sure.
It's come to her like on a tertiary fashion. It's
sure.
Like once it goes through the social services and then a psychiatrist and then the doctor, it's like – here, Alice, help this victim.
Right.
And her job is to identify with them, and she does a good job of that.
Sure.
But evaluating, is somebody a victim? Not so much.
Right.
Not so much.
Right.
All right. Abe, we got to take a quick break.
Sure.
It's Abe Abdelhadi. His Twitter handle is @thisisthedeal. The blog site is?
This is the Deal, Cultural and Ethical Observations with Just a Dash of Salt.
I can't wait to read them. And we're going to take – we got an interesting call coming up. We're going to take a quick break and be back with that call after this. All right, it's time to remember our friends at GoToMeeting. Of course, teamwork is the foundation of every successful business. Meeting face-to-face is, well, that's the old-fashioned way. Now you can meet GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix by looking at the HD screens on your computer. You meet face-to-face electronically. But the really cool part, I'm sure you've heard us talk about this more than once, the documents. You can throw your documents up on the screen while you're sharing a chat, a video chat, in high definition, and you can work on these documents. You can throw your own document up. Your peers can work on your documents. You can work on theirs. It's what Adam and I do every time we have a meeting. Now, there's a contest we've got going here, which is if you could meet anyone living, dead, anyone, who would it be? Tweet us your answer with #DrDrewWebcam and #GoToMeeting. The winner gets a new Logitech HD webcam to use, of course, with their GoToMeeting meetings. Also some autographed show swag and more. So try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. All you have to do is head over to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Drew. But keep this in mind, our contest. Again, if you can meet anyone living or dead, tweet the answer, #DrDrewWebcam and #GoToMeeting. The contest ends this Friday. Back with the Swingin' Tunes, Dr. Drew Podcast. Abe Abdelhadi is my guest. Be sure to check out those tunes at iTunes. You can get them there. And also click through at Amazon.com for the book from Brandon Stogsdill. Support the pirate ship. Please support those products that we present here to you guys so Corolla doesn't chop my nuts off and prevent me from doing this. Abe was just saying this is fun to do this. It is fun. You get to go as you know, you get to really get into stuff. You can't sure. do this on television.
No.
You can't do it. Or radio either for that matter. All right, let's take a call. This is Sarah from Yonkers, New York. Sarah, what's up?
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Hi. Nice to talk to you. I love watching your show.
Thank you.
I have so many things to say, but one of the things was when she was Jody was younger and got in trouble for growing pot,
mm-hmm.
and instead of having a normal reaction,
yes.
as a teenager would,
yes.
and say, oh, wow, I'm going to get grounded, whatever, she turned everything around, said her parents were spying on her. I mean, I feel like from way back then, that's not a normal reaction.
Absolutely. Absolutely,
you know,
Sarah. Not only that, I've been saying that repeatedly. Not only that, what you see is the parents blaming themselves for
mm-hmm.
having done a normal parenting intervention.
Right.
Then Jody manipulated them into believing they had somehow permanently soiled or spoiled their relationship with her by violating her. So, by
right.
Yeah,
they
no, that's bullshit.
Her into it.
That's
yeah.
complete bullshit.
And yeah, another thing is, too, you know the baby names that she was talking about, and that's why she sent Iris's to the grandmother.
No, I don't remember that. Tell me about that. Have you
She sent irises to the grandmother because and said, well, her and Travis, when they talked about baby names, they liked the name Iris. They liked the name Reagan and liked the name Hinckley. Do you remember that?
Are you kidding? I missed that part. Why don't you name your kid John Wilkes Booth while you're fucking at it?
This is exactly – I remember this, and I went, seriously? Yeah. Like, it's like she's dropping hints all over the place. But I don't know. I think I'm kind of crazy from watching it. But the other thing, too, is that she said she wouldn't even kill a spider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And remember they did that on HLN After Dark, that psycho thing?
Yeah.
And you remember at the end of the movie, and then he said, I wouldn't even swat a fly. You see, you won't even swat a fly.
Oh, I didn't
and
remember
she said
that's
she wouldn't even
that's
kill a
really?
Spider. I was my God, that's like psycho. And
oh,
then,
I've got to get
later,
that. I'll pull that tape. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Sarah.
But did you ever give her a brain scan by any chance?
No, she will have. I'd love to do a spec scan on her, see her blood flow like Dr. Dan Amen does. And you will see significant, for sure, there are significant deficiencies in temporal and frontal lobe function, for sure. Just has to be. And now, Sarah, tell me about how you feeling now that the case is over. Are you having a withdrawal? I'm just curious how people are reacting as they sort of wind down from this thing.
I have, I can't believe I have anxiety over this. And I got my boyfriend to watch it. My daughter's watching it. I have people watching that never heard of it before. And everybody was glued to it. We had a party, a Juan Martinez party barbecue after she got premeditated murder one. I swear. We did. We were celebrating that.
Did anybody show up wear the doggy door around their neck like a collar, like a toilet collar, like John Lennon in those old Beatle pictures?
Oh my God!
But I mean, as far as the verdict, I'm so heartbroken for the family that.
You could understand.
Like everybody is.
But think about it this way, Sarah. I'm equivocal. Here's the deal. Abe was just clarifying some stuff for me about the old boyfriend. She lived with an old boyfriend for 4 years who knew her well and thought this chick had some shortcomings, but she was normal girl, responsible, nice, good partner. Got into this terrible vortex with Travis, did horrible, unspeakable things. It's not like a serial killer. It's not like the guy holding the sex the young girls as sex slaves. And those guys need a death penalty. I'm not sure the chick that gets in a bad thing, that does a horrible thing, she's going to get life in prison. That's fine. Don't you think?
Without parole,
no.
I hope. I mean, she needs
you
to
don't
be
think so?
Away
that.
From the,
no.
the general population. I she's frightening to me. I feel like from behind bars, she's going to do something to somebody.
See, I don't.
I
think
really
so.
Do. I don't know why.
I don't think she will. She's too little to do anything with those big dykes behind bars. She'll get shit kicked out of her.
But not only that, she's not a violent person. She behaved violently in a circumstance,
right.
But she's not no history of disturbing animals, acting out in any way, really, that we know of.
Well, but you got
what about that dog? Did anybody find out what happened? She kicked the dog with her right foot.
She
Who
killed the dog.
That?
She killed. Dogs come back. Dogs are like guys. You hit a guy in the nose with a newspaper or a dog in the nose with a newspaper, the dog comes back. Guys are always going to. Yeah, a dog will come back. Cats don't come back.
No, that was too weird. She goes, yeah. I kicked the dog with my right foot.
He never came back because you fucking killed him. You buried him under the Home Depot. I swear to God, I think she killed the dog.
She took the dog and killed him.
Yeah. That was like her Jeffrey Dahmer phase. I can kill the dog. I can kill an ex-boyfriend. You know,
this got a very, very dark.
That's just my theory. I can't
that's
prove it.
Come out again.
When was that? In the time of the killing, she also killed the dog.
No. When she was 15, she in her police interview tape, she talks about having kicked a dog. She would never hurt a dog, and then the dog ran away and never came back. Horseshit. Yeah, fucking killed him because he bit her when she was mowing the lawn or something. And so she flipped out. Bite me.
No, there was diapers around, and he opened up the garbage bag with the diapers.
Yeah.
Kicked the dog with her right foot. Remembers that, and she thinks the dog ran away. She's not sure, and I'm thinking, well, was there a dog? Do you know if there was a sheep? And she kicked the dog with the right foot. Who remembers? If you kicked the dog, you said, "Oh, I kicked the dog."
But really quickly, Sarah, if I could jump in for a hot second, just to kind of piggyback on what Drew was saying about the death penalty and life in prison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if that was like a violent episode in a second degree manslaughter kind of a situation where she flipped out.
I think it's first degree. I'm agreeing with that.
No, but I'm saying if it was a secondary kind of situation where she really was just there, they were just fucking all afternoon. And
by the way, let me say, the one the juror was telling me, the premeditation Arizona means that you have to – if you're in the moment and you have awareness of killing, you're premeditated.
Okay, well, then so, she's got a lot of premeditation.
Right, and, yeah. And that's where a lot of the jurors went. They said when the cutting the neck is really where they found
definitely.
Premeditation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's
so
interesting.
It wasn't the gas cans.
Wow.
I thought it was all that stuff.
Wow. Yeah. See, to me, it's all that shit.
Yeah,
so,
me too. Yeah. I was shocked to hear that.
Because, I mean, you know, you can get pissed off. And if it was like I'm saying, if it was a second degree, she flipped out in the moment and all that happened, I could see the life in prison, evil, awful, horrible. But the whole premeditation, driving all that time, still a good idea. She goes to Pasadena to get gas.
Yeah.
Good idea still.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's a good idea. Gets there, and then, you know, it's a good idea. She fucks him all afternoon. Still a good idea. And then she had that stalker conversation. I got a theory about that. I shared this with her on your show this one time. You know, with the GQ pictures in the shower?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
They had their little chat after they fucked all afternoon, and then he kind of swatted her on the ass. Hey, thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
Now we'll fuck you some more when I get back from Mexico with the other chick.
Yeah.
So she's dressed. He thinks she's leaving. He's in the shower. She comes back with the gun and the knife.
Yeah.
And then those pictures are taken under duress.
Yeah, could be.
And then because you look at the look on his face, he just, you know, he doesn't look right. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's my little theory about all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like they were just GQ pictures. She's like Kaiser Soze. Everything she says, if you ever seen The Usual Suspects, I'm dating myself. She's like everything she says is such a lie that you don't know which part was true and which wasn't true.
Of course.
You look under the cup, it's Kobayashi.
And by the way, that was the jurors felt that way too.
Absolutely.
Sarah, what
who knows? Maybe they didn't even do anything because those two pictures of him looks like somebody that was just laying in bed. You know, I mean, how many other pictures do they have? Do they have all the pictures? That I don't know.
I think some of the stuff was lost. But Sarah, what do you think is about this case that has people so taken? What got you hooked in? What is it about this? We're all trying to figure that piece out.
I think it was because it's the diabolical lies. Just how she could still keep, like, as something was going on. Actually, when she was in interrogation, I felt like, and unbeknownst to him, he was a wonderful interrogator, but he was telling her too much because as she was hearing things, she was formulating in her head what she was going to say for the next time. That's exactly
Well, that's why she wanted to see the pictures, remember?
Diabolical. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Diabolical. That's the word that I have for
her. That's why I think she should roast. I mean, this is why I think, you know.
Yeah, you underestimate. Yes, she's not a violent person. Yeah, not now. Again, but she could be.
Hey, listen, it's like a dog with a taste for blood, right? Once you get them off the Alpo, get them on a New York steak, they're not going back to Alpo. No mo. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, thanks for that call. Appreciate it.
Thanks. It was so nice talking to you.
You betcha. Thanks.
Love your show.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Let's talk to Diane. Diane, what's up?
Oh, I was just wondering, what happens if there's another mistrial?
If there's another mistrial for the penalty phase, my understanding is the judge then steps in. And she can't impose the death penalty, but she will impose the penalty at that point. Right?
Oh,
is that
okay.
It, Abe? Is that
I believe so.
We're not, neither of us are legal experts, but I've been reporting on this for
longer
than I care to have.
It's your new job.
But it's been nice to get the ratings. My understanding is that's what happens. It's not like another round. What's interesting about the new trial, though, is how far are they going to go into things?
Yeah, Martine is a specific guy, man. Did you notice how every bullshit lie she said from the stand, he's taking notes?
Yeah.
And the gas can in Salinas? Great. Let's get the fucking Walmart manager with all the logs from the 43 cash registers, and let's talk to her for an hour and explain what a goddamn skew thing is on the receipt. Oh, and let's look at all the cash registers. Oh, no gas cans were returned. Fuck you, number one. Oh, you got gas where? Oh, let's get the IT chick from the headquarters in San Antonio, Texas, because I'm the state. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Oh, by the way, and he went down the line everything
said. I'm sure he has a team of investigators. Just
absolutely. Absolutely. And everything she came off the top of her fucking head like, okay, I said that. I cleared that point up.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, no. We're going back to that, and you're a fucking liar. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
That seems to be where he really hit some long fly balls was in the putting the screws to her in her story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, we got to wrap this program up. It's Abe Abdelhadi. I appreciate you being here. I'm going to go check out your blog.
Thank
That's
you.
Going to be interesting. What am I going to learn at your blog?
When are you going to what?
What am I going to learn?
Well, you get a different perspective possibly that you didn't have before. And whether you agree or not, that's not the
What'd
point.
What did you major in college?
Ironically enough, I majored in business.
I was wondering where the philosophy stuff comes in.
Oh, I had.
Is it your personal philosophy? Or are you hearkening back to?
Nah, personal philosophy. I've read a lot, you know, like Descartes and all that crap. I mean, it's just, you know, I came up religious, you know, got early release for time served when I was in my mid-20s. So you kind of take that upbringing and background with kind of what's going on in the world. And I just think I look at it maybe. I don't think I'm that unique. I just genuinely think that I'm just being more honest than people want to, you know. I'll make you look at the feelings that are too gross and icky.
for people. Example.
Well, I mean, shoot, it's like no one really likes to talk about, you know, the difference between men and women, or no one likes to talk about like the fact that, you know, our government, for example, is kind of hitting a certain point. And if we do fade a little bit, hey, eras end. You know, there's no forever. But people freak out that, you know, and both parties use that to motivate voters. Oh, we're coming to the end of an – yeah, we are. You know, because the Romans and the Egyptians, the great societies, they did too. You know, it's not the end of the world. But no one wants to, like, talk about that in any deep way. They want to find people to agree with them. I just like to throw stuff out there and let you spin it around your head a little bit. And if you agree, great. If you don't, great. I'm not the president of the universe. I don't run everything. I just have an opinion. And maybe it's a different point of view. Maybe you haven't thought of it before.
Where's the blog?
It's it's Abe Abdelhadi. Blogspot.
A-B-D-E-L-H-A-D-I.
But you can find it easier if you go to my Twitter handle, @thisisthedeal, and my blog link is right on that Twitter page.
Great. And I think those, again, just recapping, Abe. Oh, we got a more call coming. Okay, I'm going to do it. Here we go. This is, she's dying to talk to you, I guess. This is, she's calling from Wales, UK. This is, that's why I'm instructed to talk to Sadie. Sadie, what's going on?
Hello, Dr. Drew. Well, I just wanted to ask you a question about the Jodi Arias trial, if I may.
You may.
Thank you. What happened to the promise ring that Travis bought? Because it was alleged that Jodi stole it, and there hasn't been any mention of it at all since.
But before we answer that, where are you in Wales?
Cardiff.
You're in Cardiff. And how did you get involved in this case, and are other people in the UK involved with it?
There's a lot of us, Dr. Drew. Yes, probably thousands. And it crossed my mind how hard it would be for you to get a new jury for the 18th of July, because I think the whole world knows about it.
Well,
now.
They do, but people, all they have to do is be willing to say that, in spite of what they've seen, they're objective, or they've not been swayed by what they've seen. But they're not going to be doing it in Phoenix, I don't think, or at least not in that particular.
I got you. Yes, yeah. I understand. We'll come to Cardiff then. We'll find you some.
God bless you. I'd love to come. I love England. My daughter was just in London. She had the best time. She loves. I bet she's going to move there. That's my prediction. But Abe, what about that promise ring? We didn't really hear too much more about that afterwards.
We didn't. It was like a one-time thing.
There's a lot of stuff that she's just sort of, you know, what are you going to do? They didn't find it, and they're going to put thumb screws on her?
Yeah, finding the gun would have been more important, you know what I mean, than she threw in the desert.
I think for sure she took it.
I think that's her little trophy.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's interesting.
I really do think that's her trophy. The gun and the secrets with it, the knife, the gun, you know, exactly what happened. That's she's keeping that, and I think she's keeping the promise ring as well.
Well, Sadie, I actually agree with you. I think people do. It's interesting. Abe was expressing disgust just thinking about it on his face. That people do keep trophies after experiences like that.
Yes,
I mean, think about
it.
Think about what, you know. It's like it's her scalp,
Or like a head, like a stuffed head.
Yeah, yeah. She scalped him, and this is her.
That's
this
pretty
is,
gross.
It is really gross. Thank you for taking us there, Sadie.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll go now.
Okay, take care.
Bye bye.
Bye. See, this thing is. Is this crazy?
It's nuts. And I honestly think it's people connect to it because it connects to the wrong that they had in their life. And she, goddammit, she's going to pay for it. She's Rollo Tomasi in that movie L.A. Confidential. He's the one who always got – he was the alias, the guy who always got away with it. They need a name for the police report. That's Rollo Tomasi. She's Rollo Tomasi, and these people don't want her to get away with it. And all the stuff that she did, all of her little sins that along the way and after, they just want to make her pay for it.
And in a way, she's victimized. Not to say that she's a victim, but she's the victim of the post Casey Anthony mentality.
Oh,
which is no more of that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, get this bitch, and you know that whole thing. And you know, with Casey Anthony, honestly, and Jose Baez, I mean, he's the James Buster Douglas of the legal profession. I mean, to be honest with you, he got lucky once, and that was the end of it. So, what are you gonna do? You know.
Well, I'm going to wrap this one up. It's thank you for joining us, Mr. Abe Abdelhadi. The Twitter handle, again, @thisisthedeal. You can find his blog there. And that's enough, Jodi Arias, for one day. Thankfully, I don't have a television show to do today, so I don't have to talk to her. Talk about her. This is it. But I saw Lynette Kroll running around outside her. She's going to literally tackle you by the ankles and want to get some data out of you. About Jodi Arias.
You're not done yet.
Oh, there she is.
You're not even done. Abe, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Nice. A big fan.
Oh, fan.
I am.
Lynette Kroll. Whoa, he just had another fan.
Me and Honey Boo Boo.
He had another fan calling from the UK just moments ago. You missed
really?
That. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
all right.
Drew, you're not done talking about this stuff.
Oh, I know that. You won't allow me to be. Okay, that'll do it for this podcast. Thank you very much.